Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Lord, you are holy. You are mighty. You are worthy. And we sing your praise. And we pray that now, as our hearts have been prepared to hear from your word by your Spirit, that you would transform us. Let us love you more when we leave this room than we did when we walked in. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I first started in ministry, one of my supervisors, and I had several supervisors when I first started in ministry, but one of them had a catchphrase that he would often say. He would say to people, and he would say to me, "Never forget to remember that you are loved." And I want to pass that on to you tonight. Never forget to remember that you were loved. Now, it struck me as funny when he first said it. It's odd phrasing. Why would you forget if you're remembering? How could you not remember if you're failing to forget? But he said, never forget to remember. And I found that that phrasing was very intentional, because sometimes we forget, don't we? Sometimes we forget just how very deeply loved we are. Sometimes we forget that God really does love us, and that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing on earth and nothing outside of earth, nothing above earth and nothing beneath earth, not even death itself, can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so tonight, maybe you braved all the rain and all the streams that are flowing down the road right now, and maybe the main thing you need to hear tonight is that God loves you, because he really does. Never forget to remember that, because sometimes we can feel forgotten. That's the title of the message tonight. I feel forgotten. What now? Can it happen that sometimes you feel like the world has just forgotten about you? Can it happen that sometimes you feel like God has forgotten about you? Yeah. One of the things I love about our God is that he doesn't deal in platitudes. He deals in gut-level honesty. God doesn't leave it at the Sunday school answer level. You know, the Sunday school answer is always Jesus, Bible, Christian. And if those three don't get it, then you go from there. But usually one of those three will get it. The Sunday school answer is nice, but sometimes it doesn't meet us in real life. Well, thankfully, our God meets us in real life. And when he was inspiring the writing of Holy Scripture, these psalm writers got to a level of gut-level honesty with God that I am so thankful for the longer that I live. And so tonight we're going to ask the question, I feel forgotten, what now? I want to invite you to open your Bible with me to Psalm 42. If you're in the Red Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 469. And if you are a YouVersion Bible app user, you can tune into our live event right now. But tonight I want to give you this theme. When you feel forgotten by God, remember. And I'm going to give you some things to remember tonight. Actually, the psalmist is going to give us some things to remember tonight when we feel forgotten by God. Psalm 42, beginning with verse 1. This is a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Let's stop right there. The first point I want to give you tonight is this. When you feel forgotten by God, remember the past works of God, that he has always been faithful. When you feel forgotten by God, remember the past works of God, that he has always been faithful. The picture here painted by the psalmist is that you have somebody who is separated away from Jerusalem and away from the temple, therefore away from the worship of God. The Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And in fact, when this room was dedicated, if you go back and look at the program from the dedication, that was the theme. I was glad when they said to me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Why would you be glad to come to the house of the Lord? Because here, not only do you meet with Almighty God, but you meet with His people. And you come and you encourage people just by your presence. Did you know that by being here tonight, you have implicitly encouraged people? You've encouraged me. You've encouraged others around you to know that they're not in this journey alone. And man, life can sometimes make you feel very alone. Particularly in 2020, when we all walk around with supercomputers in our pocket, we're more connected now than we've ever been, and yet depression and suicide are on the rise. Mike Lemon has shared with us that since 2007, those numbers have gone up. Do you know what happened in 2007? We got connected. Why is it then that we live in the most connected time in human history and yet we feel more isolated and alone than ever before? Because it's easy to turn in on ourselves. And all we do is look at everybody else's slideshows. Did you ever go to somebody's house and they got out the slide projector? And sometimes you loved it, and sometimes you groaned. Amen? Was that ever you? And you're going to see their trip to Hawaii, and they've got four trays to show you all the fun they had, right? Has that ever happened? Well, now we just project our slides onto social media so that you can sit at home and you can sort through their slides and you can see how perfect their life is. Now, that's a lie of the devil. Their life is not perfect. Nobody puts all the rough edges on social media, just as they didn't put the rough edges in the slideshow. There were some slides that strategically got removed before they hit play and clicked through there at the dinner party. Well, we all get isolated in our own world, thinking that everybody's got it better than us, thinking that we'll never become everything we ought to be or what they are. We'll never be able to keep up with the Joneses. I was reminded yet again this week in a meme that I saw. The Joneses are broke, so quit trying to keep up with them because you'll be broke too. Be content with what God has given you. Be content with who God has made you to be. Be content in your journey of trusting and following Jesus because you know your journey better than you know anybody else's journey. And God's called you to follow Him. I love it. At the end of the Gospel of John, a couple of the disciples are asking about what the future will hold. And one of them said, what about that guy? You know what Jesus said? I'll worry about him. I'm paraphrasing. I'll worry about him. As for you, you follow me. Isn't that a good word to us? Let God worry about them. You follow Jesus. So this worshiper, the psalmist, has been separated from worship. And he's not getting that mutual encouragement, the encouragement that he would give to others as he gathered there at the temple, and the encouragement that he would receive from others as he gathered at the temple, and the encouragement that he would have praising God in the company of others. There's something different. When my little boy was a baby, the first hymn I taught him was Holy, Holy, Holy. Maybe that was because it was number one in the hymnal. I don't know. But it was one of my favorites. And so while I had him on his changing table, I would sing to him, Holy, Holy, Holy. And then he would sing back once he was able, Holy, Holy, Holy. It was the sweetest thing. He used to be cute. And so we are so amazed and had those moments. But man, when we sing it together, as we did just now, and we join with the chorus of angels and seraphim in heaven right now around the throne who never cease to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is filled with His glory. We have joined in a chorus that reminds us that this is greater than just me. This is greater than just me. And so that's what the psalmist is missing. He's missing this opportunity to gather with the people of God and to worship God and to experience God there among this company. But what does he do? In verse 4, he says, these things I remember. He goes back in his mind to remember those moments that would sustain him even now. So when you feel forgotten by God, you follow this example and you go back and you remember. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is 1 Samuel 17. And that's when little shepherd boy David goes out and the whole army of Israel is shaking in their boots because of Goliath the giant down in the valley, who's defying the armies of the living God and challenging Israel. And here comes David. And what does he say? I got it, no problem. And they all look at him like he's crazy. And what's his response? He said, you don't understand, King Saul. Your servant is a shepherd, and I watch the sheep. And whenever a lion or a bear would come, God would give me the strength to face the lion or the bear who had snatched the sheep from the fold and wrestle it away. I would grab their beard and I would wrestle away that sheep. And if the Lord would deliver the lion and the bear into my hand, this uncircumcised Philistine doesn't stand a chance. What's David doing? He's going back and he's remembering the past works of God in his life so that he can face the current challenge that is before him. And he was right. God came through in the past with the lion and the bar. That's how we say it here in South Central Kentucky. And if God could come through with a lion and a bar, then Goliath didn't stand a chance. And so the little boy went out with his five smooth stones and took the giant down and cut his head off with his own sword. Remember what God has done. Remember how he has been faithful. Remember how he has seen you through. He hasn't brought you this far for no reason. His plan for you extends beyond this current challenge. So remember what he has done and be encouraged and be strengthened. When I look at verses 5 through 8, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. The second thing that I want to give you tonight is this. When you feel forgotten by God, remember the presence of God, that he dwells within you by his Holy Spirit. Remember the presence of God, that he dwells within you by his Holy Spirit. The psalmist gives us a hint as to where he is, from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. And so he is again separated from Jerusalem. And in this time, he says, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. And so you picture these two waterfalls colliding and the sound that is made as the deep crashes into the deep. Have you ever been to Niagara? I've been to Niagara. I haven't been on the Maid of the Mist, but I've stood down there and with the cheap little poncho they give you, and I've seen the big horseshoe, and why anybody would ever want to go over that in a barrel, I don't know. Why anybody would want to stretch a tightrope across that and walk across it, I don't know, but there are people who do. But it was amazing to see the mighty power of this earth created by the hand of Almighty God. It was truly one of those moments, the Psalm 19:1 sort of a moment. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It's one of those moments when you're out and you're looking at some sort of natural wonder, and you feel about the size of an ant's knee. Now, I just made that up, but that's pretty small. Ant's knee's pretty small. And you just look around, and you're so overwhelmed with the incredible nature of what is in front of you, and that you know the one who made it. Or maybe on a clear night, not tonight, but on a clear night, you look up and you see the stars, and you're reminded that the one who spoke those stars into existence also knitted you together inside your mother's womb. And if he can keep that ball of gas going millions of light years away, then he can handle what's going on in your life. And not only that, but he's there with you. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that you are the temple of the living God. Jesus told the woman at the well that the day would come where not at Mount Gerizim or at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem would true worshipers worship, but true worshipers would worship in spirit and in truth. That those who belong to Jesus Christ are filled with the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says that the Spirit of God is our seal and our guarantee that God's hand is on us and He will see us through. He will finish this good work that He started in us. Philippians 1:6 really will happen. He will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. So we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And God is with us so that when Jesus said just before He ascended into heaven, "Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age," He meant it. He said, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come for you through my Spirit." And indeed He has. So when you feel forgotten by God, and you could really feel that way, but remember, our feelings lie. You got to learn to preach the truth to yourself when your feelings are seeking to deceive you. I got to do the same thing. My feelings seek to deceive me constantly. The enemy whispers in my ear constantly. And so you have to go back to the truth, and you have to preach the truth to yourself. God, you're with me. You will not leave me. You will not forsake me. I am in the palm of your hand, and no one snatches me away from you. I belong to you through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And so you remember the presence of God within you. But now look at verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. So listen to the rawness and the realness of the psalmist's cry. I say to God, who is my rock? Why have you forgotten me? Why are they triumphing over me? Why is the storm still raging? Maybe you've sung with casting crowns. I'd have thought by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And you know that Jesus is able to stand up in the midst of the wind and the rain and the storm and the water that's coming into the boat and say, peace, be still. And you just wonder why it hadn't happened. Well, can I tell you why it hadn't happened yet? Because God is moving in ways you and I can't perceive, doing things we can't know about right now to grow us. Heard a professor at the seminary talk about his journey with cancer. And he said, I was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer in 2001. He did this interview in 2019. He was told in 2001 that he had 3 years to live. But he did an interview in 2019, so things had worked out in his favor. And he said, I wouldn't wish my journey of cancer on my worst enemy. And people asked me, would you want to go back and go through it again? And he said, heavens no. He said, but I'll tell you this. I also wouldn't want to go back to being the person I was before God brought me through that cancer. You catch that? That God worked even through that nasty disease to transform him, to grow him, to reveal more of God to him. He said, so I wouldn't want to go back and go through that journey again. He said, but I wouldn't trade who God's made me to be today for who I was before then for all the money in the world. The psalmist is honest. Why have you forgotten me, God? Where are you? It's Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? It's Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. And yet notice what the psalmist does. In verse 11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him." We've looked at the past, we've realized what's going on in the future or in the present, and now look at what's happening in the future. There will come a day when I will praise and I'll exult in God my King. So the third point I want to give you is this. When you feel forgotten by God, remember the promises of God that you have a glorious future in Christ. You have a glorious future in Christ. How do you know? Because God said so, and he keeps his promises. In fact, all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. So whatever you may be facing that is difficult now is not how your story ends if you are in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not in Jesus Christ, this is as good as it gets. You're going to hell after this, but you don't have to. God so loved you that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die for you so that you could be redeemed. And whatever you're facing now is not the end of you. But what you're facing now is just a step along the journey leading you home. Leading you home. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "For I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." And that's true of you if you are in Christ. And so we persevere. We take the next step. We realize that though we may feel forgotten, our feelings can deceive us. And so we go back to the truth. We go back to the truth of what God has done for us in the past, saying, "If you helped us against the lion and the bear, this giant doesn't stand a chance." We go back to what God is doing now, and that is his living presence within us through his Holy Spirit. That he is actively and currently keeping his promise that I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. He's given you his seal and his guarantee through his Holy Spirit right now. And then we go back and we remember the promises of God about the glorious future that awaits us in Jesus Christ. He hasn't promised us an easy road home, but he's promised us a safe landing with him forevermore. So there at the bottom of your notes, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, as Moses is commissioning Joshua to take over after Moses goes to be with the Lord, Joshua is going to be the one to lead God's people into the promised land. Moses is going to be able to look at it. Joshua is going to take him into it. And this is what Moses says to Joshua. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And just as Moses spoke those words to Joshua, so also the Spirit of God speaks them to you in Christ. So also the Spirit of God reminds you that God goes before you and God comes behind you and God is inside you. He hems you in behind and before. "All the days ordained for you were written in his book before as yet there was one of them." And he will finish this wonderful work that he has begun in you in Christ Jesus. He will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And all will be well. And so if all will be well then we can sing, "It is well now." Would you pray with me? Lord, there is some comfort and reassurance to the incredible honesty of the psalmists and the willingness of our God to deal in realities of life, positive, negative, and everywhere in between, to show us, Lord, that you are faithful. You are faithful in the lives of those who went before us. You are being faithful unto us. And if you tarry in your return, you will be faithful to those who come after. And so, Lord, let us never allow our feelings to lie to us to the degree that we believe them. But rather, Lord, let us learn to preach the truth to ourselves and to those you've entrusted to our care. Help us to celebrate what you have done in the past, to remember that you have always been faithful. Help us to know that you are with us now. You will not leave us and you will not forsake us. And help us to know that you are guiding us to a glorious future in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, before we go back out into the rainy night to face the rest of this week, we join our hearts together and our voices together, and we encourage one another by praying the words of the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we'll answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you'd be willing to hang up a poster for the Spring Sanctuary Choir and Orchestra concert, we've got them right up front. We'd love for you to take one with you and let people know about it. God bless you.